What the hell? We were all supposed to dress up.
Sorry. I'm dressed as George Sedano.
I mean, jeez. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm not that innocent anymore. That's Izzy Gutierrez. That's Frank Isola. That's George Sedano. You know it because they're dressed like themselves. Frank, what do you like on the show?
Things have gone from bad to worse for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry hurt. Let the tanking begin in San Francisco.
Let's do this again.
Did the better team win the World Series?
Hey, never mind the storyline, never mind everything else. Let's just ask if the better team won. It was an amazing run by these Nationals. It was really interesting and kind of quirky in the World Series, if you look at it. They scored 30 runs in the four games in Houston, only scored 3 runs in their home games. But did the better team win it? I mean, yeah. You got Strasburg out there looking like the best pitcher in postseason history. You got Anthony Rendon, when it mattered, in the 7th inning or later of these elimination games, absolutely murdering the baseball. And yeah, they beat Gerrit Cole. They beat Justin Verlander. Of course they should be considered the better team, Frank.
When you win 107 games in the regular season, which, by the way, it counts, the regular season in baseball, the Houston Astros were the best team up until they took a 3-2 lead in this series. Washington once again proved mentally tough, big-time pitching when they needed it, from Strasburg and, of course, Max Scherzer, and timely hitting. And how about Howie Kendrick? Here's a guy who looked like he couldn't run the bases, field his position, would strike out a lot, yet he's responsible the grand slam against the Dodgers to win that series, and then the 2-run home run last night. They got contributions from role players at important times. The Astros didn't.
I'll take Frank's point a step further. You're talking about a team that has been the best team in baseball in the Astros for 3 seasons now. They've had the most wins in a span of 3 seasons. But baseball is 2 seasons. It's a marathon during the regular season and a sprint. And in a sprint, random things happen. You have a hiccup at the start, right? Something happens. You trip up middle of the way through the race, and all of a sudden you find yourself on the short end of the stick. The fact that no home team won in this series is just really unprecedented. The prop bet for that had to be like plus 50,000 or something ridiculous. Ridiculous like that. The Astros were the better team on paper, but the better team on paper doesn't always win.
Nope.
We've seen that in other sports. There have been 9 win teams that have won the Super Bowl before. This is no different in Major League Baseball.
But George, Howie Kendrick, 36-year-old, cool as heck. The best celebration I saw the entire year in Game 7. I'm telling you, this game played with my heart. I got lost in this game.
I see what you did there.
Did A.J. Hinch blow it by taking out Zach Greinke?
Ooh, baby, this is going to be an interesting conversation here in Houston for years to come. You had Zach Greinke dealing, and you had Gerrit Cole in the bullpen here, and obviously Gerrit Cole in his last start seemed really good. He told you he was going to be able to go 2 or 3 innings if you put him in there. Instead, nope, you go with Will Harris, and the questions will remain for the entirety of the offseason, Frank. Did the Astros do the right thing here?
I think they did the wrong thing by taking Zach Greinke out of the game on July 31st. They made that trade for moments like this, and he was dealing. Look at some of the swings that the Nationals had in this game. A lot of check swings, which tells me they were being fooled. They only had one hit until Anthony Rendon hit that home run. You still, I get it. He walked Soto, but those were borderline pitches. At that moment, I want Zach Greinke on the mound. If I'm the Nationals, I'm happy when A.J. Hinch came out to the mound and took him out.
This is another example of a manager not using his gut, right? And not seeing, not using what his eyes tell him. He's using what the book tells him. And that's the unfortunate situation. And if he was going to take Zach Greinke out, it was for Gerrit Cole. That's the move that should have been done. Why did you save him at the end of the last game? He could have finished that last game, got those last couple of outs, and you saved him for this particular instance to use him. And then you just left him hanging in the bullpen. That made no sense.
What about the idea that Gerrit Cole never pitches out of
the
bullpen? He's pitched once in his entire baseball career, and that would be awkward for him. And if you lose, then you're saying, what are you doing? You guys had the better bullpen. Why bring in Cole in this situation?
Because, again, you saved him for that. I know he hasn't done it since college, basically, but he's been the most dominant pitcher outside of Strasburg in this entire postseason. So why not take your chances with him? We've seen other pitchers do this before successfully. Clayton Kershaw a couple of years ago against these Nationals in a first-round series. So it's not like it's unprecedented.
Yeah, but Clayton Kershaw also got rocked in that Game 5. And then I think if you go back to Max Scherzer a few years ago in a Game 5 against the Cubs, they brought him in out of the bullpen. Pitchers are creatures of habit. And I think A.J. Hinch figured, if we get to the ninth inning – That's different with a lead. My bullpen has been lights out. I'm going with my best guys. To me, it's not who we brought in. It's the fact that he took Zach Greinke out of the game, and he was on a low pitch count. Keep him in there. He's a big-time pitcher.
I think the fact that you already warmed him up opened you up for criticism. If you leave him sitting there and not pitching and warming up in the bullpen, then all of a sudden I think all these points are moot. But the fact that he was up and throwing, that to me is already a sign that he was thinking about it and he didn't pull the trigger because he was afraid.
I mean, I just think A.J. Hinch was addicted to Will Harris. I mean, don't you know he's toxic?
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Brittany, Brittany, Brittany.
Should the Nats pay Steven Strasburg whatever it takes if he opts out?
What a time to opt out of your 4 years, $100 million. He's probably going to get something in the neighborhood of 7 years, $200-plus million, if he does decide to opt out, and everybody expects him to. And I think everybody expects the Nats to pay him. Again, we just talked about him having arguably the best resume of any postseason pitcher ever, just brought the World Series to this franchise for the first time in franchise history. This seems like a no-brainer to me, Frank.
You know, Brittany, he also won a car last night for being the MVP. The car is the same color as that terrific outfit you have on. And I think people in New York would like to see him get in the car, drive up I-95 right to the Bronx, because if the Nationals don't pay him, the Yankees absolutely will. And if I'm the Nationals, you didn't pay Bryce Harper. And maybe you don't pay that much for a hitter. But for pitching, we've seen in the playoffs, and the Nationals proved it, in every round that they won, how important pitching is. You need two studs, and they have two of them. I'm paying them. Even if he's 31 years old.
I don't think you have any choice if you're the Nationals, because if you want any chance, as Frank pointed out, to compete in the postseason, that's right. The type of pitching that you need. He's been the most dominant pitcher in this postseason, as we talked about. Gerrit Cole was a close second. I mean, Scherzer, honestly, could be a close second if you think about it. They didn't lose any of those starts that either guy actually pitched in. But he's right. There's going to be a lot of competition for him. They got to be able to open up that wallet. It's not going to be easy to retain his services. They're going to have to be ready to do something somewhat unprecedented, even for their franchise.
I mean, I can tell you right now what Strasburg's going to say once he gets on the open market.
Yeah.
Gimme more. gimme more.
His agent's going to say that, too.
How should the Warriors feel knowing that Draymond is the reason KD left?
Well, Kevin Durant's in Brooklyn now. You know what else is in Brooklyn or near Brooklyn? The First Take set. So Kevin Durant went to the First Take set, decided to talk to Stephen A. Smith and the fellas. And here's what he talked about in regard to that spat he had with Draymond Green last year.
Draymond knew that he was out of line. And as men, we talked about it. And everybody around tried to get us to, mend it fast because of the season. And we wanted to win, but like, he had his process on how he wanted to handle things, and I respected that, and I had my process, and eventually we came together.
Last question on this subject, just to be clear, because I don't recall an answer to this question. Did that play a role in you leaving Golden State?
A little bit, yeah, for sure.
Do you want to expand on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, your teammate talked to you that way, you think about it a bit, but, we talked about it, but definitely, for sure, I'm not going to lie about it.
I mean, to be honest, we knew that when we read his lips after that altercation and he said, that's why I'm out. So it feels like that's just a confirmation of something we already knew. Draymond is not everybody's type of teammate. For that matter, Kyrie Irving is not everybody's type of teammate, but he is for Kevin Durant, and those two are clearly pairing up in Brooklyn. It's not only the Draymond Green thing, it just really wasn't his team when it came to everything else. So there's a lot of factors. Draymond Green was just one of them, Frank.
You know, we all heard this before that blow-up that they had at Staples Center, that Kevin Durant was likely gone. So there's something else in New York, a bridge that's there, and I could sell you that bridge if you believe that that's the reason he left. I think it's unfair to Draymond Green, because Draymond Green is part of the reason why Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. You know what you're getting with Draymond Green. He's an ultra-competitive guy. He's going to be very emotional. He's going to push you. And together, they made it to three finals and won two of them. Kevin Durant wanted to leave. He wanted to try something else. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's not put on Draymond Green, because in the heat of the battle, you two got into it.
This is perfect Thursday content where we're not nearly just yet ready for preview stuff for the NFL or college football. We need something meaty and juicy to cling on to on a Thursday. He said it himself. He said it played a little bit of a role, okay? This isn't the overriding reason why he left Golden State. So I guess to answer your question, how should the Warriors feel? They shouldn't feel anything, because this didn't play a huge factor in Kevin Durant leaving. We all knew, as everyone has pointed out here on this panel, that he wanted something else. He wanted to feel like he owned a piece of the team, and that was never going to be the case because the Warriors are always going to be Steph's team.
You know what's interesting about KD? He's so lucky he's a star, but he cries in his lonely heart. Does he not? I mean, I see it all the time.
Man. Be kind. Come on.
Oh, man.
Who came away from their scrap looking better, Joel Embiid or Karl-Anthony Towns?
Oh, yes, it's the best cat fight in the history of the NBA. Karl-Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid went at it. It was really interesting. Joel Embiid being former teammates with Jimmy Butler, obviously. Jimmy Butler being former teammates with Karl-Anthony Towns and all the rumors of him being upset on that team and every whatever reason, whether he's soft or anything else. And here's Joel Embiid essentially defending Jimmy Butler and himself against Karl-Anthony Towns. And they get into this ridiculous scuffle on the court last night. And you had Ben Simmons there trying to be the peacemaker, as it was explained by the Philadelphia 76ers, with Karl-Anthony Towns in a rear naked choke. Frank, who came out better in this one?
You know what? I think neither player really did. And Joel Embiid, to me, you know, you're calling it a fight, a scuffle. I thought they were either wrestling or maybe just hugging. You know, the day before, Karl-Anthony Towns showed up in Philadelphia, and he ran up the Rocky steps at the Philadelphia Art Museum. He actually did it to music. So maybe he was preparing for a fight. I don't think Carl wanted to fight. And that's why after the game, he wanted to, you know, let it go. And then Joel Embiid started in on social media, on Instagram, with the name calling and the insults. There's going to be a suspension, of course, from the league. And I wonder how much those insults on social media will play into it.
This is an easy one. It's Joel Embiid. He catered to his constituency. Philly's a tough town, right? A bunch of fighters, Broad Street bullies. He did all of that. He got the crowd into
hugging.
It. He eye gouged Karl-Anthony Towns. He got Karl-Anthony Towns' mom to give him the finger while he was running, going through the tunnel. And then he included Jimmy Butler back into this, knowing that Jimmy Butler has beef with Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and company. Clear winner, Joel Embiid.
Well, you know, you say he's the clear winner, and yet he's telling Karl-Anthony Towns on social media, well, I was in the second round last year. You've never been to the second round. Now that's the standard. That's the baseline standard, making it to the second round. How about getting to an NBA Finals or maybe even winning before you start bragging about your playoff success?
They'll be there this year. I don't know if they'll win it, but they'll be in the finals.
Wow, that's a guarantee, George. Yep. That sounds like a big deal right now. Frank, you with them on that?
No, I'm not. I still got the Milwaukee Bucks, even though they've struggled thus far.
Do you expect Joe Lacob to stay true to his word and for the Warriors not to tank?
Well, last night the Warriors were trailing 50-19, and that was before Steph Curry got hurt, and that's to the Phoenix Suns, who have had a couple of decent results so far. But yeah, now you've got Steph Curry with a broken left hand out probably 6 to 8 weeks, and where you were hopeful to get sort of a rebound after those two games and maybe put something together to fight for a playoff spot is now an absolute disaster. There's no chance this team with these names makes any sort of sustained run without Steph Curry. And when he does come back, what is he coming back to? It just doesn't seem like there's anything to play for here. Why wouldn't they tank? Well, they do have their own draft pick. It's top 20 protected, so they do have a reason to not play well. I don't believe them. They're just going to suddenly these players tank. I believe they're just actually this bad.
Think about what's happened to the Golden State Warriors in their last six games dating back to last season. They lost Kevin Durant to a major injury, Klay Thompson, and now Steph Curry. And you hit on it. All the Warriors have to do is say, guys, go out there and keep doing what you're doing. They got blown out by Oklahoma City. They got blown out by Phoenix. They're just not a good team right now. And it's funny with Joe Lacob. A few years ago, he said, we're light years ahead of every organization. Guess what? You're much closer right now to being the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, they're not going to have to do much to tank. They've got a bunch of G League guys, a bunch of rookies, Draymond, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone that's healthy. Steph could miss. If he misses up to 8 weeks, you're talking about almost 30 games. In the Western Conference, there's zero chance they're going to make the playoffs at that point. If they are truly light years, they make a real business decision and try to get another star there in the lottery to help Klay, Draymond, and Steph moving forward. A cost-controlled one at that.
At the end of last season, Steve Kerr mentioned, I'm going to ask the commissioner if we can get a gap year. Maybe we'll go ride bikes around Europe. It's a good idea. You might want to go do it right about now.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
This is app. Well, for here he is covering a guard, which is great.
Oh,
that's a great play.
At least there was some defense.
What are we doing here? Bradley Beal, first of all, should never complain about a non-travel call because he got away with a doozy last year. But that's one, two, three, four. I mean, he's doing it in slow motion, Jordan. Time to play the game that must confess he still believes. Do you question?
You give us the topics. Me, Brittany, George, we give the answers.
I feel like I kind of look like Pippi Longstockings.
Yes.
You do.
Very much.
Do you question how Clint Capella got away with this?
Oh, baby, baby. First of all, James Harden had 59 points in this game. That's ridiculous. Second of all, the Wizards had 158 points in this game and lost. But the most shocking thing is that Clint Capella did not get called for travel on this play. Here he is covering a guard, which is great. Oh, that's a great play. Nice.
There was some defense.
What are we doing here? Bradley Beal, first of all, should never complain about a non-travel call because he got away with a doozy last year. But that's one, two, three, four. I mean, he's doing it in slow motion, George. It's not even close.
Okay, yes, the officials kind of messed that up. Maybe they'll get docked some pay. But, I'm not blaming Clint because you guys made it seem like this was Clint's fault is all I'm saying.
I'm waiting for the NBA referee account to tell us why that wasn't a travel somehow.
Now we know why the score was 159 to 158. They let everybody travel to the basket.
There you have it.
Do you question if this is a bad look for Baker Mayfield?
Well, Baker Mayfield's had a few bad looks this season, largely all the interceptions. But here he was being asked about the final drive against the Patriots and got a little snippy with a reporter from Cleveland.
After the blocked field goal at the end of the first half, the two-minute drive, it seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. Was something going on?
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
Yeah, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
When the penalty happened and we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
Jesus Tony is not his name, but it is a reporter from Cleveland who the Browns have a lot of history with and Baker Mayfield been experiencing for the last year and a half. But we talked about this yesterday. The idea of him reacting this way to reporters is never going to be a good look for him. If he says nothing at all, he'd be better off. This is the Baker Mayfield nobody wants to see, right, Frank?
You know what? He's the leader on the team. The questions were all fair, and it makes it look like the losing is getting to him, but in a bad way. To storm off and try to humiliate a reporter doesn't mean that you have more passion than anybody else. It makes it look like your team and you're imploding.
Well, he did say on Twitter, George, that you can't call it emotion one time and then passion at another time, that he sees to be there's a double standard there. I don't seem to think so. You're talking on the football field versus off the football field. You've got to be able to compartmentalize that, right, George?
Correct, 100%. And also, put the phone down. Don't tweet when you're emotional. Clearly, you were emotional when you walked away from Tony Rizzo from 850 WKNR. He's a longtime reporter who's covered the Browns there. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's talking about when he's talking about or asking questions about football. And I've noticed, and you guys can attest to this too, maybe I'm wrong here, but I've always noticed that when you ask a player a question and he resorts to, you didn't play the game, that usually means he has nothing real to say, anything tangible after that.
And speaking of bad looks, you have Odell Beckham on your team. Stop throwing interceptions. He's out on the field saying, hey, hit me, baby, one more time.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that's stronger than yesterday. See or no.
You tell us what's on TV, we'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Brittany, you look good. Been working out. I see you.
Tonight on Thursday Night Football, 49ers and Cardinals.
Ooh, I'm going to do my best. I might have a little Halloweening to do tonight. I'm not sure. But for a preview, we've got Chandler Jones sneaking up on his former teammate, Jimmy Garoppolo, at a supermarket.
Okay. Can I have a picture
great
with you,
footage,
sir?
Great quality. I never assumed Jimmy Garoppolo would be doing his own groceries. Frank, are you intrigued?
Absolutely. How about the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo can't even recognize the rush when it's coming at him in a supermarket, much less when he's in the pocket? Come on, Jimmy.
How about you, George? Are you intrigued?
CC, I'm intrigued. I also think that anyone that can do their groceries, it shows a lot of confidence that you can do your own groceries. But I'm in. Kyler Murray's actually good at home, but now he's facing arguably one of the best defenses in the league. I want to see if he's actually good against these guys.
Tonight on ESPN, West Virginia at number 12, Baylor.
Baylor, number 12, man, still unbeaten. They put a little hype video out for this game on Halloween. Here's a look at that.
The old lady.
Halloween.
Would have been really scary if they would have thrown Art Briles' face in there at the end. Frank, are you intrigued?
Not exactly Steven Spielberg producing that one. No, I'm not. Only because West Virginia should be playing like Syracuse, Pitt, Penn State, Maryland. I don't know what they're doing in that conference.
How about you, George? Give me that little piece of paper there. See or no? Are you intrigued?
Here's my little piece of paper here, Brittany. Yeah. I would say no, and unfairly, maybe by me, I still think that Baylor has that stench of Art Briles, so that may be unfair, but that's the way I lean.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for watching. Frank and George, thanks for nothing.
That's what friends are for.
I came dressed as George. It works.
I don't know if I can stand up anytime in front of a camera, but I guess I can.